Welcome to Booty and Bossy, Eat, Drink, Knit. This is episode 27. And we are talking about this recipe by Tegan Gerard. And Bossy, do you want to tell us about the recipe?
This is a recipe for chicken tortilla soup. And I was visiting my sister-in-law in Pittsburgh, and she had Tegan Gerard's cookbook, Half-Baked Harvest, Super Simple. And, of course, I never heard of her because, well, it's kind of like, oh, have you heard of that band, the Beatles? She's truly an internet sensation. She's got kind of an interesting background. She's one of eight kids, lives in Colorado. Started cooking for her family when she was 13 because she was tired of her dad making dinner and they'd all eat at 10 o'clock at night. So I instantly liked her. Like that family right away.
Take matters into her own hands because...
Yes, she's got a great internet. In fact, she really started off as a food blogger. Booty likes her for her website, for her blog, for the excellent food porn. Got tons of recipes. When she started off, her whole goal was to post one recipe a day. So one of the things you'll find is that she's got many versions of the same recipe, one with poblano peppers, one with more cream base. But we really liked this chicken tortilla soup recipe. It's in the cookbook, Half-Baked Harvest, Super Simple. But to make it accessible to everybody, we're going to follow the online recipe that we both did. I will say that it is excellent comfort food. And you might be asking listeners, hi, Mom, why do you need comfort food? It's almost spring. I'll tell you why we need comfort food, because this week I picked eight ticks off my dog and I got poison ivy and it's supposed to snow in 3 days. Those three things do not belong in the same week.
No.
So I'm pissed about that. And that's why we need tortilla soup.
Absolutely. That is not. No.
It's completely unfair. Especially the poison ivy part.
Yeah. Isn't that usually later in the...
You can get it from dried leaves. I do have to say, I always think of my son. We have a lot of poison ivy around our house. And so when he was little, he called it Poison Ivan. That was the best. Because if there's like a plant that's like Ivan the Terrible, it's Poison Ivy.
I love that. I will forever call that Poison Ivan.
But so we refer to it as Poison Ivan in our house. And I have it on my hand and my chin. But I digress. Back to chicken tortilla soup from Tegan Gerard. One of the things we like about it is that she gives you three versions of it. The crock pot version, the pressure cooker, and Booty and I did the stove top because we're old. We are outside of her demographic, I believe.
I do not have a pressure cooker or a crock pot. I will say she does that pretty much for... most for recipes, which is nice because you can make them with whatever you have. And I think the fact that she has all these variations is also great because it says if you leave out something or you want to put in something, go for it and do it as you like.
I do like how she describes to the idea of stuff that you have in your larder.
Yes.
As we know, Booty and I are big fans of that. And this is a one pot. Too.
Yes.
And it was a big crowd pleaser. It made a lot. My son was home from college and he really liked it. And I think he's going to make it himself. So basically, it's one yellow onion diced, two jalapenos seeded and chopped, garlic, two cloves of garlic. You chop all that up and then you put in a pound of boneless, skinless chicken, 2 teaspoons of cumin, some taco seasoning. I just use chili powder.
Taco seasoning is chili powder, sea salt, ground dates, tomato powder, garlic powder, nutritional yeast, cumin, onion flakes, cassava flour, cream of tartar, black pepper, and parsley. Interesting. I don't normally have taco seasoning on hand, so use what you have. If you have chili powder, great. You've already got the garlic in there. So
I just use chili powder. And then what I really like about this is the red enchilada sauce. It is on the bottom shelf of Stop and Shop in the ethnic food section for Mexican. It is a nice thing if you've got a recipe for it. I would definitely keep it now in my larder for this. It's basically spicy, slightly runny tomato sauce that we get on top of enchiladas. 3 to 4 cups of chicken broth, she says low sodium. If you've made your own, you can use that. Then she has 1 to 2 cups of cooked white or brown rice. I use brown rice, juice of a lime, 1/2 cup of cilantro, and tortilla chips. And then yogurt, shredded cheese, and scallions, avocado. She actually, in the cookbook, she says mango too, which I didn't try, but I was intrigued by that. Did you try that, Booty?
Well, I bought the mangoes. Everybody ate the mangoes before I had a chance to try it with the chicken tortilla. So, classic. Yes.
I seem to remember an incident with cashews.
Much like the tortilla chip. Also, I asked my husband to get a lot of these ingredients, and he did very well. But the tortilla chips he got were very thin. They were some kind of, dare I say, diet tortilla chips.
What?
That you really couldn't put in the soup because it would just dissolve. I don't think they would have even gotten soggy. They would have just dissolved. So they were on the side. I still ate them. But I felt like I was entitled to eat twice as many because they were so thin. But
what I like about this is you just put all that stuff in and cook it until the chicken's cooked through and you add in the lime juice. I actually cooked the rice in with the soup and then you can spoon it over the tortilla chips. It reminded me a little bit of pork pozole. For the same reasons of why that's like one of our favorite things, the Ina Garten pork pozole, is because, you know, everybody can add their toppings. You can add as many tortilla chips as you want. You can put lime. You can add a lot of cheese, scallions. I did have some avocados. That was really good.
It actually says to cook the chicken for 15 minutes.
If you're doing the stovetop. Yeah,
doing the stovetop. And yeah, and the shredding was pretty easy. It is a nice, easy dinner. And really, all you need is, besides the chicken, is enchilada sauce. I think one of her other recipes had you adding a can of beans. And so I added a can of beans. And for me, when I added the rice to the soup, it pretty much soaked up the whole thing. And so I would say you either want to put your rice in your bowl and ladle the soup over, or if you're going to eat it all that night, that's fine. But it is delicious as a leftover.
Yes, it is one of those that I think does get better as it sits there. I did put in, well, it called for 3 cups of red enchilada sauce, and you know how I hate having 1 cup of enchilada sauce. I bought 2 big cans. So I ended up putting 4 cups in. So I think that's why it was still like a thick soup.
I think it would be good as a burrito too. Like if you wanted to use that as a leftover, you could just put that in a tortilla with some cheese and sour cream or mango.
And I do think it's pretty healthy. As you know, we are trying to be more healthful after certain doctor's appointments. It's got boneless chicken, beans, if you add them, rice. Actually, my husband left out the cheese in a moment of incredible self-control.
Yes. Good job.
Awe-inspiring. And more cheese for me. He actually said he didn't really miss it. And she's a big proponent of plain yogurt, Greek yogurt, instead of sour cream. And so we had some of that. And the avocado, it was really good. So we recommend everybody checking out her blog. She also was recently interviewed on Martha Stewart's podcast. We'll put a link to that. That was very interesting because did you know how old Martha Stewart is?
No.
She's 82.
She's younger than mom.
So she was, yeah, so she was interviewing this person that she was literally half a century older.
Yeah, you should tell about the turkey.
That's, they were talking about Thanksgiving things and the recipes, and Martha was saying, well, what are you doing? And she said, well, I'm making the turkey and I'm using this technique. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. You soak cheesecloth in butter and you put it over the turkey and it keeps it super moist. And Martha says, I invented that technique. Taken, and she goes, oh, really?
Well, and we always talk about the Thanksgiving where our sister-in-law made this amazing turkey, and it was the Martha Stewart recipe. We weren't actually allowed in the kitchen, so we're not 100% sure if it was the cheesecloth.
But there was definitely cheesecloth.
So it was. Yes. Yes. So, and it was amazing. So now we
Yeah, have- I remember she made basically the whole dinner out of, I mean, this was when Martha Stewart, it was the beginning of the Martha Stewart empire. It was great. I mean, it's funny to think back now how I looked forward to getting her a Martha Stewart living every yeah. month.
There is something that I miss about that with magazines, getting that. There might be something you weren't looking for, you didn't know you needed.
Yes.
We don't get that anymore because we're just looking for things online. And I guess we still get plenty of stuff we don't need.
Yeah. And it's an embarrassment of riches, I feel like, online. And that you, there's so much out there that you just almost, you go and look up Nutella brownies. There's a recipe in Tegan's cookbook for it. And I was like, oh, I wonder what, well, you get 15 Nutella, probably even more than 15. And then you're like, well, which one? Oh, this one has 5 stars. This one only has 4.7.
Huh. Right, and, but this one has 1,000 people who tried it. And this one,
right. And this one, it was just her mother.
And that would be ours. And,
I mean, I do think it is a completely different world. And it was very interesting hearing Tegan Gerard's encounter with this. To me, Martha Stewart is really an icon and so experienced. I mean, not professionally trained as a cook, but ran her own catering and has built this empire. Talking with this young woman who's also built an empire, but a completely different, it's a virtual empire. When it was just fascinating.
The other Martha Stewart interview that I just love. We haven't talked about this. Nobody has asked us. I should say, many people have asked us about this, that we have at the end of our podcast, we say, don't knit like my sister. And we got that from Car Talk, where they say, don't drive like my brother.
Yeah.
Well, one time, the Car Talk brothers interviewed Martha Stewart.
I didn't know that.
It is just awesome. They talk about whether or not you can cook a turkey on the hood of your car. It's just a great episode. So, our favorite. Well,
and I love that Martha Stewart's really good friends with Snoop Dogg.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's like the best. I mean, who builds this empire, goes to jail for insider trading, comes back out, just sort of picks up where she left off. And there's a lot you can say about Martha Stewart. I just marvel at her.
There was a while ago, there was a TV movie about her, and Sybil Shepherd plays Martha Stewart. She was having a hard time with Kmart because she was demanding better standards of the things that were going to have her name on it. So the sheet sets, she was saying, is it 100% cotton? What is the thread count? You can't just slap my name on these polyester sheets. And Sybil Shepherd says, the point is not for me to lower myself to your standards, but for you to raise yourself up to my standards. And I just love that. We should all aspire. But I don't know if she ever actually said it.
I feel like she would have said that. I feel like that's a Martha Stewart thing to say. Yeah. We recommend going on Tegan Girard's Half Baked Harvest, looking up her many versions of the chicken tortilla soup. You can adapt to your tastes. It's quick, it's a crowd pleaser, and there's lots of food porn on her blog too. So that was kind of fun too. And when you need comfort food, because while it is April, you need something good to fight your way through the ticks, the poison ivy, and the impending snowstorm.
Yeah. Oh, I feel your brain.
But, well, Booty, what are you knitting?
Okay, so spring is sprung. Very exciting here in the Pacific Northwest, unlike apparently in colonial Massachusetts. And we have our first knit-along. Well, actually, no, this isn't our first knit-along. Our first knit-along is Booty and Bossy.
Oh, yes.
Bossy was about to do the trumpets.
Then I stopped. I sucked at that.
She sucked. We knit the Foxtrot sweater. That was a Marie Green 4-day knit-along a couple of years ago, which was a very fun sweater pattern. I since have bequeathed mine to my daughter.
I actually wore mine the other day, but mine took me 2 years, I believe, because I got stuck on Sleeve Island. And that's why we're not doing something with sleeves.
Yours looks fabulous. I love you. And but so this is Glimmer, and it is a poncho. We're knitting it, both of us using the same yarn, but different colors. So the yarn is Treasure Goddess yarn, Yak Silk DK Treasures, in that 60% superwash merino, 20% yak, 20% silk. And mine is Treasure of the Emerald Isle, gorgeous green.
It is really beautiful, yeah. Mine is, well, Booty gave this to me for Christmas, so. And I don't know quite what this means, but it's called Song of the Sirens. Yes, and it's it's being lured in by the siren song. It's a beautiful wine, but with a fair amount of black undertones to it, I would say.
I feel like there's some of that going on with the emerald as well. And I think what's happening is that the yak and the silk are absorbing the dye differently from the merino wool. And that's where I think you're getting, there's a beautiful sheen to it because of the silk. Super soft. It's going to be really gorgeous. So I'm making mine for mom. She knows about it. And the pattern is really fun. We did have several false starts. And we did swatch.
I actually did 4 swatches, yes. Patty Lyons.
I think she does have in her book, it says something about the lying liar who lies to you. It's true.
Yes, I did 4 swatches, and I did the little trick of, for each swatch, I did a knot on my little end yarn here for the needle size. So this one is, I did on size 5 needles. So it's got 5 little knots. I love that little trick. I don't remember. Well, I'm sure you told me that trick.
Yeah, somebody, I think, in knit camp who suggested that. And it is great because I cannot tell you how many times you knit a swatch and you think you're going to remember and you don't. And there are some people put like a yarn over to make a hole. So they do whatever needle size, that's how many holes they put in. But I find that I either don't remember to do it or it gets a little confusing with. So the knot thing works well for me. And it's so nice when you pick up a swatch later. And I mean, I know that you should re-swatch, even though you've already swatched, but it was 3 years ago. But it just at least gives you a ballpark.
So I did four swatches on size 4, 5, 6, and 7 needle sizes. This is the 7. And I will say the big thing I noticed, I'm holding it up to the light. If you hold your swatches up to the light and you do four of them, it's mainly what you notice is the holes between the stitches are bigger. I mean, the yarn is the yarn, but it's the hole size that gets bigger. I had never really noticed that. I don't know, maybe that's just really obvious.
Yeah, no, it is interesting how things change when you're watching and what needles you're using, all that good stuff. So we are using sevens, and we did modify the pattern because when we looked at it, we both had plenty of yarn. When we looked at it, it was a shorter poncho, and we wanted something that had a little more coverage.
Because we are trying to avoid the crop top,
Yeah, the
the mesh. So we just to connect to episode 26, you're avoiding the mesh crop top poncho.
And we really like the lace pattern, which I find is a good one for me because I have struggled with lace. I can make lace, but it's very hard to, if you make a mistake, to figure out where you went wrong. I mean, this is
Yes.
where lifelines can come in handy. So that's where you just put a string through your row. And so if you make a mistake, you can rip back to that point and get it back on the needles. When you've got yarn overs and knit two togethers in the wrong place, it can be really tricky to get those back in the right place. This one, though, I feel like it has enough interest that you keep going without it being so difficult that I mess up all the time and have to.
I agree. I like when I can knit something and feel like I'm making progress on it, but also be listening to TV or a podcast or something like that. That is my sweet spot.
Yes.
It's the knitting, doing something with my hands, paying a little bit of attention, but being able to listen to this other thing. So we made it a little bit longer because even the biggest size was 19 and a half inches wide. So, well, I got out my other ponchos, and those were like 25 and 26 inches wide. So I started with that. And then, in the vein of making a poncho for a whale, I realized it was way too big. And then I was measuring the finished size, and that was probably going to make this 30 inches.
Right. I think with this yarn, it does grow a fair amount because it's super wash. I don't know that the silk and the yak, I don't know how that factors in, but definitely it grows with the super wash. I should say, so I mentioned the name of the pattern is Glimmer. It's spelled GLYMUR, and it's by Jennifer Weissman, WeissMan.
You found it on Ravelry, right?
I got on Ravelry. I definitely found it. It was a newsletter or something, but I don't remember who sent it. So
I
thank
did enjoy though, and I haven't done this that much on Ravelry. I mean, I love Ravelry. What's not to love about Ravelry? But I love seeing other people who make a pattern and then post it. And there was one woman who took a picture, and everybody seemed to, because it's long when you make it, a lot of people took pictures of it, blocked out the entire length of their dining room table, which I thought was great. But there was one woman who took a picture, and then she had little arrows to where she'd made mistakes.
yeah, that's my kind
I thought, I love this woman. Because it wasn't enough that she'd made a mistake, but she wanted everybody to know when they looked on Ravelry, here's where it was. But I had already knit too far that I wasn't going to rip it back.
I never would have noticed that mistake if she hadn't put the arrow
No,
out.
she was like the arrow there. But that's what I love about Ravelry is that you just, and
Reminds me, Ravelry kind of reminds me of that whole Instagram thing where it's Instagram versus real life. And what you post on Instagram, and that's basically what the designer who has a photographer or somebody who's good at photography who models it and shows it in the best light and who has cleverly disguised the fact that all the ends haven't been woven in. One sleeve is 3 times longer than the other sleeve. You know, they turn. Right. Versus the real people who actually make it and they post what it really looks like, and on real people too, that limited size range.
No, it's so true. And I think, like I said, it's the embarrassment of riches for the internet. But then there's a way that everything, and this is my issue with so many food blogs too, is that everything is so carefully curated and looks so perfect, and as if everybody's life is like that. And I don't know, to me, I'm just so drawn to the people who the arrows.
Right. And I mean, I totally understand why the designer is putting their best foot forward. They're trying right. to set a pattern. They want you to buy it. They want to make it look good. So you want to buy it. So I'm not disparaging them for that. It's just really nice that there are people out there that let you know what it actually looks like in real life.
Well, or there was another woman that was like, well, I had this yarn and I really like the pattern. And I was hoping that the beauty of the pattern would transform the ugly yarn. But somehow it would transcend its ugliness. And in fact, it just
highlighted it.
Like, why'd you use that yarn?
I feel like that may have been hitting close to home. Because it reminds me a bit of the lustrous glitter thread.
Yeah, when I was taking weaving lessons at the Hill Institute in Florence, Massachusetts. And one of the ways that you become a master weaver, I have to say, I did not do that. They have a big room set up with 26 looms and with different projects that teach you different things like weave structures and stuff. And you work over the span of 2 years, you work your way through each project on each loom. And then you have to do something like 32 projects independently. And you have to complete these projects within 2 years. And it's a similar thing, like you have to do a project using a certain kind of weave structure, or you have to use one using a combination of fibers like wool and cotton. And one of the projects called for lustrous glitter thread. So I went to Webb's, America's Yarn Store, in search of lustrous glitter thread and got this sort of gold stuff that I put in this, I think it was a linen warp with blue and red and lustrous glitter thread. Sort of stripes. It was the most bizarre thing I'd ever.
I just remember that you were trying to get rid of the lustrous glitter thread, and so you were sort of throwing it into every project. Who doesn't want some lustrous glitter thread?
I know. I feel like it was that Martin Short, like, I hope everybody likes acrylic. Yeah. Everybody likes lustrous glitter thread. And what was weird, and I still don't really know why it did this, was if you looked at it from the top and you were weaving, you actually could hardly see it. But if you turned it over, all of the lustrous glitter thread was on the back side in these very clear stripes.
It was hiding.
Yeah, yeah. It was hiding in plain sight. Yeah. But yes, lustrous glitter thread has become sort of, well, kind of like poison ivy
has become a symbol of. So if anybody wants to knit along with us, we would love to have you. I have about, I'm on my second skein. I think I'm almost through my second skein. It calls for about, I would say you probably want at least 5 skeins of DK.
Yeah, it says, well, 675 if you're a little person, or 1080 yards if you're a big person. But like I said, that's for the crop top.
Though yeah. I would say you want a good 20% more than that, because you want to be able to widen it. So we can put in more details on the website. The nice thing about this is that most of it is stockinette, and then you've got your lace panel on the side. So you can easily adjust it to make it wider or narrower if you want.
Yeah. And I did actually add, it's got a almost like a leaf-like lace panel, and then it's got an eyelet running border, and then you've got your stockinette. I actually put, since I was making it wider, I actually put another row of the eyelet along the bottom. So you've got a row of eyelet on the bottom, then you've got the leaf pattern, and then you've got another row. I just felt like I wanted more proportionately of the lace pattern to the stockinette.
And I did that as well after Bossy told me that she did that. And I
really copycat.
I know. And because I didn't want mom to look at yours and be like, well, wait a second. It's much like the chicken tortilla soup. It's very adaptable and it's a nice, easy flow. And I think DK weight, so it won't take you forever.
So I think it's going to be nice and lightweight. I think it's going to be a nice spring or fall type thing. Or if you were wearing a thick shirt underneath it. We're very excited with our knit along. We will keep you updated. Booty is probably twice as far as me right now because I was swatching. And make the tortilla soup because it'll get you through a snowstorm. Please be sure to check out our website and respond. Join us in the knit along. And I think it's time to say, whatever you do, don't knit like my sister. And don't cook turkey on the hood of a car.
But do check out the show notes at bootyandbossy.com.